When we go back this morning again to the third chapter of the book of Romans for a beginning. We were here last week, but we quit about where I was going to begin today, so. Things going on here. Starts out in this third chapter and said, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? And the question here was circumcision, and he's pretty well proved to where we're going to start that it wasn't anything to circumcision as far as the salvation of the soul, but it was a token of a good conscience toward God that it was performed because God had commanded it. But then there's a little misunderstanding with the people here. They begin to think the Jews were a little bit superior to the rest of the people. And the apostle has pretty much proved his point up to here. But I'd like to begin this morning in 24th. Verse. And said, in being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. He's waited patiently, but has out of all this saved a people. And the whole thing here is not circumcision, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's where they're having a problem. They were looking unto their own righteousness and not to that of God.
Right.
Trying to perform good works outside of faith. Faith produces good works, but outside of faith there is no good works.
Right.
Man don't have any good works in him, lest Lord would lead him into good works. People perform good works every day, but not out of a good conscience most of the time. Their conscience is what's guiding them unto their sort of new good works, but being renewed in the heart and in the mind will lead a man to good works, not out of debt, but out of love. In verse 26, he says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness.
Yes.
That he might be just, and a justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And then verse 27 said, where is boasting then? And that's what they were having a problem with. They said, look at us, we Abraham's children. But man can't boast in being either. It's God Almighty that called him to his profession, whatever it might be. Now, it's a little different here. They were boasting in the law, what they knew about the law, what they had head knowledge of, they were boasting of. He said, by what law? Where is boasting in? It's excluded. By what law? Of works. No. Nay, but by the law of faith. And we would say here, at faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what is the word of God? It's the gospel, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Can't add anything to it or take anything away from it, or it won't be perfect. the perfect law of liberty. But it wouldn't be perfect if we took something away from it. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Man cannot work out his salvation outside of the grace and the gift of God. Verse 29, he said, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and the uncircumcision through faith. Back long ago, I kind of toiled over this. I said, what is the difference? Yeah. But we'd have to conclude it's no difference. It's the same God. That's what he just said. So it's the same for the circumcision and the uncircumcision, for the Jew and the Gentiles alike. It's all the same gospel. The perfect law of liberty. Then it's the gospel that comes to bring salvation unto man. And the gospel is simply this, a revelation of Jesus Christ. He is our propitiation, has reconciled us to God if we be in Christ Jesus. We must be reconciled. Otherwise, we're mad. There is no peace. Said, do we then make void the law through faith? No, can't do that. God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. It's good, and it's holy, and it's just, and it's good for man. But most people set out to keep it by the works of the flesh. And then we look at this law. What is he talking about, the law? It's simply the gospel. The law was given, it was always proclaiming the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nothing more and nothing less. The same gospel that you and I look into today is the same gospel that they from the very beginning was looking into, that was pointing them the way. So we preach the gospel for the salvation of the soul. And the gospel in its entirety is Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Yeah. Oh, it's so thorough. The Lord told Moses, he said, read them the law, read them the whole thing. It didn't just stop with the Ten Commandments. That's where we have a problem ourselves somewhat nowadays. Say, when we say the law, people think of the Ten Commandments, but the law was every word that ever proceeded out of the mouth of God through man. Passed it on through the preaching of the gospel. In the book of James, first chapter, and he's going back talking about this faith and works. And he said, yea, a man, in the 18th verse, I don't believe I told you that, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith. Yeah, and most people today claim they do have. Second chapter, I'm sorry. And I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. the devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So there must be a circumcision. Can be no other way. But it didn't come by the works of the flesh, by the works of the Spirit. So we go back to chapter 1. That's where I just got mixed up. We go back there. And in verse 18, he said, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Where'd you get this? By circumcision of the heart. That's what the word's going to do. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, what you got to do? Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And it's going to come only by the preaching of the gospel. Ain't nothing going to just drop out of the sky on you. They'd kind of have you to believe that today, it just kind of fall out on you. But it comes by the preaching of the gospel. He said, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There must be a work done. And the preaching of the gospel has always said that work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So it must be a work done. But how are you going to know what to do? By preaching of the gospel. By the law. But let's don't narrow the law down to 10 commandments. Let's use the whole counsel of God. We don't know nothing if we don't use the whole thing. The scripture is of no private interpretation. We need to keep looking at them. And see what the whole counsel of God has to tell us. Verse 23 said, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, oh, it must be a continuing. It must be a work done. I think probably this is the most important work that man can do, is keep looking and keep gathering. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Well, a deed is a work. Yeah, you can't take it away. They've tried to. They say, well, it's not of works. No, it isn't. Salvation isn't of works. It's not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. But the love of Christ constrains us what? To do a good work. Verse 26, he said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. But pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep themselves unspotted from the world. So it's all a bunch of works also. But it's not grievous works. It's works that people of God are willing to do. I think also here it speaks of people that are of God, primarily. We of the church don't need to go out and hunt down poor folks. I know that isn't too popular today, but but that's not it. But take care of your own, especially in the church. So we must keep on works. In the book of Isaiah, the 2nd chapter, stay with me, old fingers, get there a minute. In verse 1, he said the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways. Right. The gospel. We have a more sure word of prophecy in our day. That's the day he's talking about here. Right. The gospel. What has changed? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ has changed everything. And we're still going back talking about the works of the law. It still isn't of the flesh. It's of the Spirit that has come. And what? He walked on this earth among men. And we will walk in his paths. That is, if he teaches us his way. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. This same law I'm talking about here is the gospel. It's that simple. The law never saved one man, although it was a representation of the righteousness of God himself. But it was against us. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall bear their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I used to kind of trouble over this too, but the spirit of the people of God in this is this. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where'd your righteousness come from? In the book of Psalms 65. There's so many places we could have go with this. Verse 1, praise waited for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. There's going to be some good works. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Wasn't no good works here, was it? But it was purely of the Lord. That's where sometimes it miss too. It's all of the Lord. Man can do nothing on his own. It's not of him, it will. But it's of the Lord. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that they may dwell in thy courts. Oh, we're going to have to keep on going, aren't we? We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Thy terrible things in righteousness, and wilt thou answer us, O God, for our salvation? Who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea? Which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. Big noise there too, isn't it? They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. This is talking about the gospel, this river. We go back 47th chapter book of Ezekiel. These are flowing from the south side of Austin. Said it's south side because the house is facing the east. So it was on the right or the south side. But it running out just a little stream. And it got larger and larger and larger until our day, when the Lord Jesus Christ came and brought the full stream of the gospel. The whole thing, the whole river. The river of life. It was flowing in full stream. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it salt with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. No, it's good, isn't it? Word has come. It's come to all people. First to the Jew and also to the Gentile. But we're most blessed people because we have seen the end of it, a more sure word of prophecy. We're at liberty to worship God because of the gospel of Jesus Christ that has come to our age.
Same to the Jew as it is to the Gentile, same to the Gentile as it is to the Jew. There is no bond, nor free, no male, nor female. There is no difference to whom the gospel is sent, but there is a difference that the gospel makes. Because though we begin as different people, we end up as one. So endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. How is it that we have so much diversity today? How is it that men can consider that there are differences between the people of God? Why is it that one thinks that one can believe one thing and another can believe another thing? And what is the old expression? Well, you know, we're all going to one place. We're just going a different way. But that cannot be. God makes the church one in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His body, not His bodies, plural, but it is His body, one, singular. And so we are exhorted to keep the faith. We're exhorted to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And so it is that we endeavor to just preach the truth of God's word. And so there's three real parts to a church service, isn't there? There's the hymns, there's the prayers, and then there's the preaching of the word. And that constitutes the whole thing. And it culminates in the fellowship of the saints. All right, good to be here this morning. Good to have a start like this. And again, thankful to the Lord for this day and the opportunity that we have to meet in peace. Not all are able to do that this morning, or wherever their time is in the world. Bruce was just reminding earlier this morning, 250 professed Christians just been killed in Nigeria. That's just one little place. We don't know about the rest of the world, at least right now at this moment, but we do know that people that profess the name of Jesus Christ are being slaughtered every day. And here we are. We're sitting in peace and safety and comfort. Can you be thankful for that?